And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A well-rested, I'm sure, Joe Rex Road, who had nothing to do yesterday, joining us live from Indianapolis here on the program. Joe, what's going on?
Had to go with two at all times. I'm going to coffee. Be like this.
Oh, yes.
Let me just say, I'm going to try to sum up the state of affairs here.
Okay.
So you've both had your hearts ripped out by sports.
We have.
I slept for 2 hours because I was writing about the St. Peter's Peacocks, which is like...
Great name.
Don't get me wrong. It was a privilege and an honor to write about the St. Peter's Peacocks. And it's incredible, like this tournament, you know. But yes, this could be rough, guys.
What a day. Michelle, how are we doing this morning?
I'm afraid right now.
Well, you should Michelle, be afraid. Right? You should be afraid because I also just broke my neck driving to work. Okay, well, I didn't actually break it. But listen, that's my stupid car with the stupid non-side window. I was checking my blind spot this morning and my whole neck cracked. So I'm really struggling. I also have never cried over a basketball game and totally cried in a bar last night in utter disbelief and just really didn't want to come to work whatsoever. The bags under my eyes are glorious. My eyes are puffy and I'm pissed. And my neck hurts really bad.
Robbie, what do you have to offer today to the pool of misery?
My favorite player in the NFL got traded for my team. Does that count?
I think that gets you into the tree of trust.
Okay. Kelton has already texted in before the show even started on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sorry, Robbie. Now they got to make Rodgers earn that contract. Hashtag make others better. Right now, Aaron Rodgers and number one receiver, Alan Lazard, ready to get after it out there. It's going to be great.
I mean, I know we're going to talk about this.
We are.
But I just, like, I haven't, you know, like, you get wrapped up, you know, like, I'm wrapped up in all this stuff here in Indy, okay? So, I just haven't been able to really read too much stuff. Or I mean, I'll be honest, like, the Preds, I lost track of them. And I'm like, wait, they lost? Why did they do this?
From all the reporting, and we'll get a little deeper into this later in the show, but from all the reporting that I can muster up and that I can tell, he didn't want to be there. They offered him more money than the Raiders did from everything that they're throwing out there, and he wanted to be with the Raiders. Now, why that is, we're going to spend some time on later, because somehow through all this process, you know, the Packers managed to piss off their two best players and they lost one of them, which is amazing that this happened throughout this whole thing. But yeah, like the money apparently was there from the Packers at the end. I don't think it was at first, but it was there at the end. And apparently that was too late. And now again, if you're the Packers, and Shiel Kapadia from The Athletic last night put this up, like, you have all the leverage. You franchise tag him, and if he wants to sit out, do you think he's really going to sit out in a prime year of his career and miss out on $20 million? Probably not. So it didn't really make much sense to me, but now the Packers are – I mean, you're not winning. I know they have draft picks and all that other stuff. They're not winning a Super Bowl without Devontae Adams. It is not happening. So congrats to the AFC, I guess, or Tom Brady. Whoever you want to congratulate.
Well, yeah, I mean, the AFC is just amazing.
Yeah.
There's another team that's looking, wow, like they're really doing some work to get better. And there's no one else in the free agency that would really be viable, that would really make a difference.
No, I mean, there's Jarvis Landry out there. Yeah. I mean, I guess the Packers could go get Julio. But – they've got two first-round picks now and two second-round picks. So I would imagine at some point they'll draft a quarterback, one of those four picks, and we'll start this process all over again.
That would be great.
Well, let's get into it. How did this happen yesterday? Number one, let's shout out real quickly to Joe Rexroad's bracket. The Final Four is looking great for Rexroad right
Listen,
now.
Listen,
Kentucky goes down.
I had Iowa and Kentucky too. Yeah. I'm just so mad, guys. This is the worst loss ever. Ever. EVER, capital, stamp it. I don't even care. Ugh.
This was a pretty classic John Calipari performance, Joe Rexroad. That's what I've been talking about. Like, our Kentucky fans, and this is what I've been saying like the whole time. Like, our Kentucky fans, because I saw some of this on Twitter last night. Some of them are starting to be like, really? Like, this guy's got one national title since he came here. He's got all this talent. And the last couple of years, they were awful a couple of years ago, and now he can't get out of the first round against freaking St. Peter's. Like, what's going on here, Joe Rexroad?
Yeah. I was kind of having that discussion with Kyle Tucker, you know, last night. And Kyle, by the way, wrote a really good piece about that. But also his seat, he was on the other side of the floor for me. So he was like behind, like, you know, next to the benches. So he could basically hear everything Calipari was saying during the game. And he kind of writes about this, but like at one point late, Calipari was, he was sweating like the pilot in an airplane, you know, where it's like, it's like buckets of water coming out of your skin. And he kind of looked back and was just like, I don't know what to do. So, I've been there for, there's been 10 of those. Okay. Now I've seen two in person, 15 beating a two.
Yep.
And I didn't think Kentucky even played that badly last night. That's what's amazing about this tournament. Those guys from St. Peter's were possessed, man. Yes, Kentucky made mistakes. They missed free throws in overtime, killer, and made some big mistakes. But St. Peter's was, it's just one of those things. And even in a building that was all blue, I mean, it was all Kentucky fans for that game. So it wasn't like the building got against them, right? It was just this team. It's amazing. I never would have guessed. I mean, I didn't know a thing about St. Peter's. Not a thing. And no. These guys are, you know, they're actually, in all reality, they're probably going to get smoked by Murray State. But then again, you know, you never know with these things. But the interesting thing about Kentucky is, like, I really liked the team. It was a likable team, you know, like a really likable team. Like, just for the general, I know a lot of people are predisposed to dislike Kentucky and Calipari and all that, and I get that. But, like, it was he talked about this after the game too, like one of the most enjoyable years he's had. But this is the NCAA tournament, and it's undefeated, and it'll get you eventually.
Yeah, it did. And the craziest part to me is, you know, Shibue, I thought, was really good last night. And if he doesn't play that way, like, they get smoked last night with the way that they were shooting the ball. And that's, you know, their guards toward the end of the year. You know, we talked about this against Tennessee and then in this game as well. I mean, it's just, they went cold. And I mean, credit to St. Peter's for that. But, you know, that's got to leave just such a sour taste. I mean, Shibue had 30 and 16 last night.
Yeah.
Just imagine where they'd be in that game without him.
No, he was great. Yeah, and Kellen Grady, you know, he got in his head late, and you see that with shooters sometimes. And by the way, that, you know, I got into a Twitter battle last night, and I should have just not done it.
Oh, I saw.
But let me just say, people, and I'm not directing this just at Ball Twitter. I'm directing this at anybody. If you think you are going to judge officiating by counting up the foul shots, you're an idiot. Stop. That, honestly, you know how much I rail about officiating. I mean, I rail about officiating all the time. That was actually, I thought, a really well officiated game, and not at all did I think it was like, slanted toward Kentucky. They have Oscar Shibue and they have guards who can get in the lane whenever they want. So they draw fouls. St. Peter's is out there running off screens all day and trying to get a little bit of space to shoot a three. So you're not going to get fouled or go to the foul line. So the other team's going to have more free throws than you have. This is a long time pet peeve. The what's the foul shot number? Oh, they're cheating for the other team. Oh,
that was in full force last night.
You're going to have a lot of random outbursts for me today, so just be ready. Sorry.
It's okay. I mean, what a crazy day yesterday. I mean, I think I want to say I saw a stat where maybe like 700 people left in the nation have a perfect bracket. So apparently 700 people saw this coming.
That's amazing. But yeah, usually, I mean, there's upsets, right? I mean, every year, you know, first day there's upsets, but there's still thousands and thousands of perfect brackets left by now. 700, my goodness. It was, I mean, again, this game was exact. I mean, I watched Tennessee annihilate Longwood, and I would have sworn, if someone told me going into the day, not going to tell you anything other than there's two 18-point underdogs in this building. One of them's going to lose by a million, and one of them is going to win in overtime. I would have said, holy crap, Rick Barnes is out.
That's not it.
It's not the right answer.
That's not the case.
Robbie, you're laughing right now is hurting me. You guys are laughing, and I'm literally crying with a broken neck over here.
Well, look, I mean, I'm in shock. Like, I was joking about this yesterday about St. Peter's, because obviously anytime Kentucky loses, I find enjoyment in it. I never thought in any world that this was possible. So the fact that this has happened, I don't really know what to do with it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, me and you both, Rob.
I think today is a good day to, you know, to take it easy.
I had to turn Twitter. I had to shut my phone off. The amount of text messages and Twitter ads and all of that and people calling me. My friend Rhiannon was like, we were at the bar and there were just tears because you just knew it was happening in overtime. And she goes, let me just take your phone, and just shuts it off and puts it in my purse. Probably the best decision all night.
That is a good move. Yeah, I think we should take it easy. You know, I mean, there will be other days to give us no crap about this. Other days and years and years and years.
Yes. Yes, there will.
Today is not all those years.
What a day. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get into Tennessee's dominant win yesterday against Longwood coming up on the other side, 615-737-1025. Protect yourself against upsets this March, which have been prevalent already with bracket parlay insurance on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short. Maybe you like Tennessee to take down Michigan in the second round. You can take it any way you want to take it. Make sure you build your parlay your own way based on the teams that are playing that day. Parlays are great because you can turn a small bet into a big-time payday. And with cash out, the ball is in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. If you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code Rob. Then you can bet the bracket all tournament long. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. If exactly one leg loses, refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. NCAA tournament SPK wager required. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
James takes the baseline, fakes. Again, that ball movement. Ziegler got a three.
Extraordinary. I mean, there's no other word. It's just the way they look for one another.
Dominant day yesterday for the Tennessee Vols. They win 88-56 against the Longwood Lancers in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They'll move on to take on Michigan in the next round. We'll get to that matchup coming up here in just a few minutes. But, Joe, pretty impressive day yesterday for Tennessee. I mean, the first half, they couldn't miss. Fulkerson was aggressive right out of the gate. I think he had like 11 of their first 17 points or whatever it was. And then Vescovy started hitting threes. Josiah James started hitting threes. And that game was pretty much over by halftime yesterday. Dominant performance by Tennessee, especially on the offensive side of the ball early. And I will say early in that game, I didn't really like what they were doing defensively out there, and I don't think Rick Barnes liked it too much either. But the way they were shooting the ball in the first half, like if that's the way Tennessee shoots, they're going to be pretty tough to deal with throughout the tournament.
Yeah, and you can't count on it. But you'd rather – I mean, look, you'd love to take 10 of those threes to the next game.
Yeah.
But you'd rather have that issue of like, okay, guys, calm down, than, oh, my gosh, everybody's cold and you know, you'd rather have that than like Kellen Grady. I mean, Kellen Grady just was completely unstoppable for a lot of this year. And then just, you know, this is what happens with shooters sometimes. Tennessee shooters are so Josiah James, let's keep the counter going. You know, we talked yesterday about the, you know, the finger, the splint, the torn tendons. So that's five games without the splint, 14 for 26 from three. That's okay.
Not bad.
And it looks good coming off his hand. And then Vescovy goes nuts. Has, I mean, that basically ended the game. He had like four in a row in about a 3 minute span, and it's over. And actually, I was a little surprised Rick Barnes played his main guys as long as he did yesterday. I thought he could have gotten about 8 minutes out of the out of the deep bench, but he ended up getting basically everybody in there. And yeah, I agree with you. The defense, yeah, but Longwood also is, you know, I mean, you're sitting there with Brandon Huntley Hatfield guarding like a 6'1" guard, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and I know that, you know, Rick Barnes took an early timeout, and he said after the game, basically Plavsic blew two coverages on ball screens, and so he's, which is, I just love this about Rick Barnes. He's like, yeah, let me just tell you exactly who did what. Plavsic. Two ball screen coverages, blew it, you know. So he called the timeout, and that got better. They did get a lot of steals. That's where their defense, and that's where Longwood just, you know, you can't give them transition off your turnovers. They had 11 in the first half. So just they were overmatched. So Tennessee goes in the building last year where they just had a miserable loss. They have a really nice feel-good win. And on Saturday it's really going to look like almost a different game altogether, like, yep, a different sport, because Fulkerson's out there like, oh, thank you, let me just drop that in, you know, no resistance whatsoever.
Yeah, like if Fulkerson, he got, you know, into a little bit of foul trouble early, but if they would, I had this thought in the first half, they could have given him the ball every time down the floor and he would have scored. Like it was just, he was a problem for them, and that's not going to be the case against Michigan, I don't think. I mean, just based on, you know, how big their guys are and just the difference physically that this matchup is going to be. But we said it yesterday heading into the game, kind of seemed like a John Fulkerson type day, and it was for Tennessee. The thing that stood out to me, and this has stood out to me for a while now, like Tennessee in transition is really, really good, and they know they've got a plan. And there's a play yesterday, like Kennedy Chandler gets the ball in transition, Ziegler runs to the three-point line, and I think it was Huntley Hatfield cut down to the basket, and Chandler eventually just found Huntley Hatfield. I think it was, that may have been the and one play. I don't remember exactly which play that was, but they were talking about this on the broadcast, and it's something that I picked up on just immediately, is just having a plan in transition. Most teams are just running and they're going, and Ziegler running off to the three-point line, creating some space, you know, Huntley Hatfield cutting to the basket, and Chandler, his court vision right now is really, really impressive. And Tennessee looked really good offensively yesterday.
Yeah. And it's funny. I thought you were going to talk about, because I just before that, there was a play where I thought Chandler, of course, in half court, Chandler gets in the lane and, you know, two-hand dunks in this game. But then they're in transition, and he at least could have gotten to the rim, gotten fouled, but he kind of waded through back to Vescovy. That was his first three, yep, and then they go nuts from there. So that was another example of him, you know, really seeing the whole thing in transition and making it happen. He looked good. And they, you know, they Jonas Adu barely played. He was just garbage time. That's not gonna be the case today. I don't believe. I believe that, or not, I'm sorry, not today, tomorrow. Thank goodness tomorrow. you know, Jonas Adu, he's going to be important. All those guys, Plavsic. I mean, you know, because you cannot try to put Fulkerson on 7'1", 260-pound Hunter Dickinson, who will put 30 on you if you don't do special things to try to stop him. So Tennessee does have a lot of guys, which is good, but can any of them play him well straight up? I got my questions about that.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan looked like they were in trouble yesterday to start that game, and Colorado State got off to a great start, and then Michigan just took over in the second half, and they win the game. You know, as an 11 seed, I know you look around and I think Gentry Estes put this out on Twitter yesterday, and my thoughts before the game, like, this feels like one of those situations for Tennessee that you'd much rather have the 6 seed win the game than the 11 seed win the game. Because as we know, I mean, we talked about it yesterday, Michigan's a preseason top 5 team. And now here they are as 11 seed having to take on Tennessee in the second round. That's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, and there's still a big question because Michigan's point guard didn't play yesterday. Devontae Jones, who's been, you know, he's transfer point guard and kind of underwhelming early in the year and way better as they've gotten better and gotten themselves into the tournament. They were out of the tournament, you know. They were bad as of probably like mid to late January. So I don't know if he's going to be back. It would be a big deal for Michigan if he is. But, yeah, Colorado State, you'd have advantages. You know, they do have one forward who's kind of like a Draymond Green kind of guy, real burly, or a you know, maybe PJ Tucker a little bit kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that would have been tough, but yeah, you basically would have had advantages across the board. Michigan goes 7'1", 6'11", and a really quick, athletic, huge recruit, freshman 6'11", and then 6'8", huge recruit, who hit like 4 straight threes yesterday and really has one of the, I mean, he's got a sweet stroke, Caleb Houston, and he's got it going. So yeah, I agree that the 6 would have been the better outcome for the Vols. But you know what? I also, this is not like, you know, some years, if you're the 3 and you play the 11, it's like, oh, the little 11, it's like the little mid major team. Well,
yeah.
You know, Tennessee understands what they're about to go against.
Yeah. No question. I will say, Joe Rexroad, I had to double take like twice yesterday when I saw a number 3 with the name Wade running around for the Longwood Lancers. I was like, oh my God, when did Longwood get Dwayne Wade playing on their team? It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Between that and Mikhail Granlund's cousin out there, what a team.
Yeah, I thought Jesper Granlund had a couple nice moments. And then he had a couple moments where it didn't go so well for Jesper Granlund. Or as Justin Bradford would call him, Jesper Granlund.
That's right. Did you get a chance to ask him if he was related to Mikhail Granlund? Probably not.
No, I mean they did not. They kept Jesper from the media. They did not provide him for us. Unfortunately,
that is quite unfortunate.
Very sad.
Big win for Tennessee. It was interesting. Which, by the way, always love watching CBS's coverage of this because they bring in Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley, who largely, just based on what I watch, have not watched college basketball all year, which is hilarious. But yeah, then them coming in and breaking down the tournament, and Charles at halftime was like, yeah, if Tennessee plays this way, they're going to smoke Michigan. It was hilarious. And just him and Kenny Smith getting back and forth on that. But it's quite the coverage from Ernie and Clark Kellogg and all that stuff.
I mean, I love those guys. You know, it's my favorite show inside the NBA. And it's kind of become a funny thing, but it is kind of annoying to all of a sudden be like, really? This is the college hoops analysis right now?
I don't think Chuck spent much time watching college basketball this year outside of Auburn.
Right. Yeah, he watched Auburn, and he watched old tapes of him at Auburn. And, yeah. It's not great, but you know what? You love them so much, you let it go. And hey, we were all in the same boat with St. Peter's. I mean,
it's true.
All in the same boat. So many people have learned that they're in Jersey City, New Jersey, in the last few hours.
They're Jersey First school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we just made
another one.
We just made it even worse. The only team I've ever heard of called the Peacocks as well. But hey. Good to them, I guess.
I hope they win it all. I hope they go and win the whole freaking thing.
Maybe they will. I mean, according to Rex Road, they just took down the national champion. So,
according to me, too.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Tough night last night for the Nashville Predators. We'll get into that coming up next. Also get into the Davante Adams situation as well. I will join the crying that's taking place right now. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Predators trying to get the forecheck on. And they do. And the shot taken there and the goal by Tanner Janot out in front. So it took all of 23 seconds to tie the game at one here in the second period.
Tanner Janot scores last night his 20th goal of the season, but not enough. The Predators fall 5-4 in regulation to the Philadelphia Flyers last night on a special night for Claude Giroux. He plays his 1,000th game as a member of the Philadelphia Flyers, and it looks like that probably be his last game as a member of the Flyers. He's not going with them on their road trip, and rumblings are he could be traded to the Florida Panthers pretty soon. I think the Avalanche in the mix as well. So it looks like it's down to those two teams when it comes to Claude Giroux. Tough loss for the Predators last night, Joe. It was a game where John Hines was not really happy with it after the game in terms of the way they played defensively. Another one of those games where they did not play, quote, to the standard that they've set that John Hines threw out there last night. And just too much standing and watching at times defensively. Offensively, they're right there in the game. Tanner Janot scores a big goal really early in the second period. Philip Forsberg between the legs last night on a great play by Roman Josi to take the puck around the net and feed the puck to him out front. Just a beautiful goal by Forsberg there. Sets the franchise record for goals. And, by the way, just another casual 3-assist night for Roman Josi last night. So he's up to 72 points as a defenseman. But here we are again talking about a team where, I mean, you've had a great run of success here. You've taken down Pittsburgh and Minnesota and all these different teams. You played well against St. Louis, even though you lost that game. You just can't lose to teams like Philadelphia this time of the year. And I know it was a special night and an emotionally charged night in Philadelphia. So I do think that factors into this somewhat, but that's a bad loss for the Predators last night.
Yeah. I mean, I have to ask you with all sincerity, what the heck happened? I saw the Forsberg goal. So it's okay. It's 4-3. And then, I don't know what happened. Please tell me.
They just stopped defending. Like Tanner Janot, and we talked about, you know, his goal. He got lost in defensive coverage there towards the end of the game. The defensive attention to detail wasn't good enough. And look, I mean, you can't put – I still blame the defense number one, but it's been too often as of late we're talking about this team giving up more than four goals. Like Saros has got to play better. And I know – and we run into this sometimes around here. Like people want to blame everybody but the goaltender. And I understand that. And there are certainly reasons why that's been the case. Saros has got to play better. He has not been as good lately coming off the All-Star break as they need him to be. And, I think he played really well the other night against Pittsburgh. I have full confidence he's going to play well coming down the stretch. But it's just been a combination of that as of late. And I think we figured this out last week after the Seattle game. If this team has a chance to do some damage, they've got to commit to defending. And, you know, the other part of this is, you know, Ben Harper and Philip Myers are in there, and just it's not good right now. I know Philip Myers scored a goal last night against his former team, and that's great, but they need Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning back, and they need them healthy in a hurry.
Yeah, what is the situation with that?
They're both day-to-day. So, honestly, with the Matt Benning injury, I thought it could be longer just based on the way that he went down and how much pain he appeared to be in. But from what David Poile said the other day on Darren Donica Chase, I don't think it's going to be super long. So, hopefully at some point here pretty quickly, Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning are back in there. And then, like if you're David Poile, I was talking about this with somebody yesterday, do you look at maybe adding a veteran D-man at the deadline? I think that's something – that they could do that could be relatively inexpensive. But, you know, that's a bad loss for the Predators last night. Now, you've got a chance coming up on Saturday. Austin Matthews will be back in the lineup against Toronto. And we've seen this Predators team a couple of times this year when they have bad losses, they respond pretty well. So maybe that's a good thing heading into the game against Toronto. But it's games like last night that you lose, and then you look at the playoff standings and think to yourself, well, could that loss against Seattle end up being the difference of you finishing top three in the division or not? Could that loss against Philadelphia be the difference in you finishing in the second wild card spot or the first wild card spot? Like, no, at the end of the day, if you get in the playoffs, does all that really matter? I guess that depends on who you ask, but that's what I start thinking about when you lose to teams like Seattle and Philadelphia.
Yeah, you just you're getting low on mulligans, you know. And you know, look, everything's still on the table. I mean, anytime you have a loss like this, you kind of go back, because they've been playing so well, but you kind of go back to you can quickly take your mind to the worst case scenario, you know. I mean, the margin for error just isn't great. I mean, they've obviously kind of built themselves back toward, you know, being in a pretty good spot here. But, you know, I mean, the Stars are 5 points behind. The Stars have two games in hand. This is far from resolved here. Like, any outcome you can think of is still on the table.
Yep.
I mean, other than, you know, like winning the division.
Right, exactly. So that sets up a big matchup for the Predators on Saturday at home against Austin Matthews and the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll have Terry Crisp on later in the show at 8:30 to look ahead to that matchup and break down what he's seeing right now from the Nashville Predators. Joe, what a day yesterday in the NFL. We've got the Deshaun Watson stuff that seems to be coming to a head. It looks like it's down to the Falcons and the Saints on Deshaun Watson. So the Panthers have been informed that they're out. The Browns have been informed that they're out as well. So two teams in the NFC South. Looks like one of them's going to end up with Deshaun Watson. By the way, some breaking news in the NFL right now. Looks like Logan Ryan, former Titan, is signing with Tampa Bay. So it looks like he's going down to join Tom Brady again in Tampa Bay with the Bucks. So a reunion there, Joe Rexroad.
Very interesting. And Logan Ryan can tell him all about how he picked off his final pass as a New England Patriot.
He can.
I don't know how much Logan Ryan has left, but, I mean, good for him, you know, to try to sign on and grab a ring that way.
Yeah. The big news, though – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say the big news, though, yesterday in the NFL is the Devontae Adams trade from the Green Bay Packers to the Las Vegas Raiders. This was soul-punching for me, Joe Rexroad. I'm driving to dinner with my wife. My Packers group text thread starts going nuts. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, wow, did the Packers, like, trade for, you know, DK Metcalf or something? No, that did not happen. The best wide receiver in the game, gone from Green Bay to Las Vegas Raiders. And the Packers get back a first rounder this year and a second rounder this year. And that's it for Devontae Adams, a top 10 player in the NFL, gone from Green Bay to the Raiders. Joe, my heart is destroyed.
So you're telling me, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, man. I figured that if that was going to come about, it was going to be the Aaron Rodgers way, but then it would be very easy to just turn around and hate him, you know?
Yeah.
It's still hard for me to totally understand why Aaron Rodgers is okay with this.
And that's the thing, because I thought to myself when I saw the news that Devontae Adams has been traded, like, wow, like, are we about to get into another, well, screw that. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to be here. But apparently, according to everything around this, Aaron Rodgers was aware that this was going to happen before he even signed. So apparently he knew about this. And it's just fascinating to me. You know, we talked the other day, the Packers tagged Devontae Adams, and he made it clear that he wasn't going to play on the tag, which, again, he's not the first player to do that. Like, there have been players that have said, I'm not playing on the franchise tag. You have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal with Devontae Adams at that point. So apparently the Packers offered him a bunch of money. Apparently it was more than Vegas offered him towards the end. I just wonder how it got to the point where Devontae Adams just wasn't really willing to listen at that point. Either he really wanted to go play with the Raiders and Derek Carr, and that's just what this is, or the Packers front office had managed this to a way where the relationship just wasn't salvageable at that point. I mean, either way, I guess good for Devontae Adams. He signs an extension with the Raiders in addition to the trade. That's a 5-year, $141 million deal, which is $28 million a year at the wide receiver position. So we talked about this the other day as it relates to A.J. Brown. Like, what would the Devontae Adams contract look like, and how does that reset the market for wide receivers? Well, that market has been reset at this point.
Yeah, and he's the guy. But again, it's like, there's him, and then I don't, you know, there's a little bit of a gap, I think, even, you know, to the next. So it's not like it's going to be, oh, and then the next one's 29 and the next one's 30. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I think that's going to be setting it for a while, for a little while anyway. I mean, if you're a Raiders fan, you got to be excited. I mean, if you're Derek Carr is going to look like a much better quarterback all of a sudden. I think Derek Carr is good anyway, but he's about to look better than that. If he doesn't, then that's on him.
Yeah. Chip from Mount Juliet texting in says, I'm from Wisconsin, lifelong Packer fan and shareholder. Packers will be fine without Adams. Rodgers will spread the ball around better. Plenty of good wide receivers in the draft this year and serviceable free agents. Rodgers' formula of forcing solely on Adams during games helped in the regular season, but not in the postseason. That is certainly one way to spin it.
Those are some words about the Packers. So you don't agree?
Well, no, I don't agree. I'm interested to see who they draft. Like, I would assume at this point, even Brian Gutekunst can't screw that up. Like, you have to draft a wide receiver, maybe two of them, with these top four picks that you now have. But, like, what scenario is out there where the Packers this year are going to be better without Davante Adams? Like, even if you drafted, I don't know, Chris Olave and George Pickens with a couple of your first picks, like, is that team going to be better than they are right now with Davante Adams? Like, you just signed your 38, soon to be 39-year-old quarterback to another contract with the idea that you're winning now. How does this move help you win now? It didn't make any sense to me.
I hear you. I think they screwed it up. I mean, I think like you said, you tag him and there's going to be hard feelings. There are, like you said, there's often hard feelings. So you tag him and then, you know, eventually you got to get that deal done. I think, you know, to help you even and to make him happy, but now the tag just takes it away. I mean, they're still winning the NFC North, I guess.
And I guess make sure you draft Alan Lazard on your fantasy team this year. I guess he's going to get a lot of catches. I don't know.
That's exciting for the Packers and fantasy owners.
Yeah, it really gets you fired up. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give up on the, to give away on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Play hooky with the game and watch all the games at New Heights Brewing. Today we'll be broadcasting live. There will be beer and basketball all day long. You can enjoy food from the local distro and try beers from the Tap Truck Nashville and New Heights Brewing. A portion of proceeds from beer sales will go to Metro Animal Care and Control. Come play hooky and give back at New Heights Brewing at 928 Rep John Lewis Way South in Nashville, powered by Wager, the new gaming app where you challenge your community, not the house. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in says, Aaron doesn't care about all this as long as he got his cutthroat. Aaron Rodgers says, that's all right. You take Davante Adams away, I got my money. It's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't think that's true. I think he wants to win. Now, that's still him getting his, but I mean, he wants to win, you know? And I'd love to know all the conversations that he's had around this whole thing.
Yeah, I would too. Jonathan texting in says maybe Adams just didn't want to be cold anymore. Going from Green Bay to Vegas, certainly don't have to worry about that anymore. Maybe so. Look, I fully recognize that living in Green Bay, Wisconsin is not for everyone. Fully get it.
No, I would never, ever, ever do it.
No.
I've been there a few
times. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a charming, I mean, Lambeau, amazing history. If you could take that exact stadium and the little surroundings and put it, you know, in another place entirely in the world, that'd be awesome. But no, it's, you know, really, if you think about it, the fact that there's a franchise that has maintained itself and been very successful in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which, you know, if you've been to Wisconsin, Milwaukee, well, that's one thing. Okay, Milwaukee is Milwaukee. You're going way hours up the road to Green Bay, Wisconsin, right on the border of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Neighbors with Santa Claus.
That's right. I mean, like, it doesn't make sense that there would be a successful franchise, but that's the franchise being successful and making it. But it's still, like, living there. I mean, you think about the difference in life. I mean, gosh, this one in particular, Green Bay to Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's quite different.
Yeah.
Hey, look, and there's also the – I mean, obviously, Devontae Adams and Derek Carr played college football together. So, there's a relationship there. Obviously, they really like each other. But I don't know. I mean, the AFC West is insane. I mean, just think about this. You've got Russell Wilson coming to the Broncos. The Chargers have loaded up. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. And now you have Devontae freaking Adams joining the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, I don't know. Like, it could just be where, I mean, somebody's going to get hurt. And, you know, it's probably not going to work out the way we think it is here in March. But right now, like, there is very easily to me conceivably a way where all four teams make the playoffs from the AFC West.
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's – It, going into last year, we were – well, really, it was three of the four. But last year, it was like, wow, that NFC West. But you thought Seattle was going to be really good. You really didn't know that the Cardinals – figured the Cardinals would be like a winning team, but that might be the odd team out, right?
Yeah.
But it looked really loaded, and we have these loaded divisions sometimes. I don't know. I don't know if I can remember anything quite like what the AFC West looks like right now. You bring Russ and Devontae Adams in – and the Chargers are loading the heck up. And, you know, you still got the Chiefs over there, the boring Chiefs with, you know, Mahomes and Kelce and Hill.
Well, now just think about, like, the Raiders and the pass catchers that they have. You've got Devontae Adams. You've got Waller at tight end, which when he's healthy, he's a really good tight end. Oh, yeah. And there's Hunter Renfrow, which I know people don't think about. He caught over 100 passes last year and had 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. Like, that trio by itself, you can make an argument that might be the best pass catching trio in the league right there.
I mean, the only real problem is that the crafty Jacksonville Jaguars found a way to get Zay Jones away from you. But
that is true.
If only they had Zay Jones to go with all of it, then I'd pick him to go to the Super Bowl. But Trent Baalke is laughing his head off right now. He and Doug Peterson and their completely revamped culture as they sit in the office and, you know, play a little trash can basketball.
Yes. Just amazing.
I don't know why I decided to rip on the Jags there. It's just, it felt natural.
It's why would you not rip on the Jags? Anytime you could rip on Trent Baalke, I'm here for it. It's good stuff.
Just kind of, you know, just kind of one of those, like, wow, you just decided to take a shot at the Jags. They make it easy though, don't they?
They do. There's no question. So I guess now is like, what is the, is there a corresponding move from the Packers, right? I guess they could just say, you know what, we're drafting Devontae Adams' replacement, and that's what we're going to do. And I think at least with one of those picks, that's what they'll try to do. Like, they've opened up some cap space here. And I know that they're going to probably sign Rasul Douglas now, and their defense is going to be pretty good. But, like, you've got a good somebody to catch the ball. Like, do you use one of these picks? And this has been floated out there on Packers Twitter now. Like, do you use one of these picks to – trade with Seattle and bring in DK Metcalf? Like, I don't know. Are the Seahawks interested in trading DK Metcalf? Like, you can't trade everybody if you're Seattle, right?
Nah, I mean, I would think that they'd want some kind of cord, right? But I know a lot – I mean, there's teams all over the league like, ooh, how about DK? Seattle's punting on everything anyway. But even if you are, if you're Seattle, don't you want to keep some really good players for when you hopefully are good again? I mean, you know, the NFL rebuilding process is only supposed to take a year or two. So, but hey, it's worth a shot. Maybe it is something like that because the free agent market doesn't look great. I can't believe that Aaron Rodgers is okay. Yeah, he got paid, but you know, he's trying to get a second ring. Can't believe he's okay with things as they are right now. All of a sudden,
I've got some tickets to give away to Jim Gaffigan coming up later this month at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Jim Gaffigan coming up at Bridgestone Arena later this month. Looking forward to that. I might end up at that show as well. So now, the AFC, you've got the Deshaun Watson situation playing out, which it looks like he's going to end up in the NFC. So I guess at least if you're trying to compete, if you're the Titans in the AFC, you don't have to worry about Deshaun Watson going to the Browns or anything. Apparently, he is down to the Falcons and the Saints. Yeah, the AFC West loading up. And the thing that I keep coming back to, Joe Rexroad, is if you're the Titans, continue to thank your lucky stars that you play in the AFC South. Because right now, Indy doesn't have a quarterback. The Texans are about to lose Deshaun Watson, even though they've got my guy Davis Mills, and the Jags keep handing out money left and right to people who are marginal players. It's great stuff.
Yeah, it's I mean, I'm not saying the AFC South is ever going to be the NFC East of the last couple of years anytime soon, but it's a good division to be in if you're a pretty good team, which is what the Titans are. The Deshaun Watson stuff's really weird too, by the way. I know we got to go to break, but there was quite a few reports that Atlanta was happening. And also Kyle Pitts had this tweet basically like everybody be afraid of Atlanta or whatever. And then he deletes it. So it's really interesting. Like that's a lot of smoke on Atlanta. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, actually it's two teams are still in it.
Yeah. We'll get into the Deshaun Watson saga coming up next, including how that may affect the future of another quarterback in the AFC. That's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.